As you know, we have been in the book of Hebrews. It seems like forever, but it hadn't been forever. But it seems like we've more been forever in Hebrews 11:32. So today we're going to move on to 33. We finished Hebrews 11:32 finally. But we may touch back upon it some in today's message. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us and touch us and just be so alive in us that when your message comes to our hearts, that our hearts will be thirsty and receive it and hold on and not get distracted, Lord, by anything other than you. If we must be distracted, let it be distracted by the Holy Ghost. And Father, we thank you for all that you do, and especially for who you are and who you've made us in you. We thank you, Lord, that you will look upon our words today. You'll help me to get out of your way so that I won't be seen or heard, but Lord, that you will be seen and that you will be heard. And also pray that you touch those that hear to get out of the way so that we can all hear and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Remember we read Hebrews 11:32, it says, "And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of all of the prophets." And then we go on to 33, it says, "Who threw?" I mean, they're talking about the ones in Hebrews 11 up to this point that we've been talking about. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tormented and not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." It says there in 33 that through faith, these giants of the faith subdued kingdoms, that they performed righteousness. They obtained promises from God. Faith even stopped the mouths of lions. I want to remind you that we're talking about faith. And for the past 5 or 6 weeks, that's really been the subject. I know you've heard a lot about faith. If you've turned on your television or listened to your radio, you've heard a lot of people talking about faith. You've heard a lot of people saying that this is what faith is and that is what faith is. And a lot of what you heard is not faith at all. It has nothing to do with the faith of the Bible. It's a contrived faith that's been put together where you take scriptures, and I like to call it cut and pasting. And you take one scripture that you can find a way to make it fit with another one, and it sounds logical. And you find another one, and that sounds logical. And next thing you know, you got a doctrine. It's called faith. But the thing about that, and I followed that doctrine before, is that it didn't work. It did not help me. I could not pray and get my son healed like they said I could. He was still sick. I prayed the words they gave me in the manner that they told me. I laid my hands and bound the devil. I did all of those things. And in the end, my son looked at me and said, "Dad, why won't God heal me?" Because I was teaching that to him too. Well, I was glad for that to happen early on. So it made me stop and think and look back again and have to do some more praying and some opening up and looking at myself and just exactly what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? What is it that I really want? And you know, if you want a car, you work and you buy one and you pay for it. That's the best way to get a car. You don't go and do hocus pocus on the car dealership and put witchcraft on them and trick them and drive off the lot with a car. You're robbing them. See, folks do that. They do. But, you know, you really want a car, you buy a car. You want a Rolls Royce, you work harder. Longer. Real hard. For a long time. Anyway, by faith, they subdued kingdoms. Faith. And you got to remember when we go through these things that some of the stories will be so phenomenal that we could forget that is what faith that we're talking about. So I kind of try to remind you every once in a while that remember we're talking about faith. by faith. Through faith, Joshua started his military campaign, and he led to the defeat of the city of Jericho. Now, that's got to be by faith, because they just marched around that city once a day, and then the last day they marched around seven times. Well, you want to say something that looks so silly and out of line. I thought they were so tough they were going to come defeat us, but all they're doing is marching around the city. Well, you wait until this thing is over, because they started making some noise and those walls came down. That was his first campaign. And he continued to subdue a total of seven nations in Canaan, and he did it because of his faith in God. Through faith, Gideon, after receiving a satisfactory signs of God, you know, dew on the fleece, dew on the ground, he subdued the Midianites through faith. He won a battle through faith. Through faith, Jephthah, a mighty man of valor is what he was called, after being rejected by his brethren because he was born to, his mother was a harlot, and they rejected him and said, "You'll not have a part of our inheritance." So he ran away. That broke his heart. But when they got in trouble, they said, "Will you come back?" And after he made them pay for the way they treated him, he went on and came back. And he led military victories. And he returned and he defeated the Ammonites. Through faith, he did. Through faith, David, that lowly shepherd boy, not only defeated the giant, Goliath of Gath. He cut off his head with Goliath's own sword, walking around with the giant's head in his hand. But not only that, afterwards, they subdued the Philistines, and all of Israel who cowered, worried about the big giant, they would fight until the giant showed up, then they run away. But after they saw that the Philistines' champion was dead, they got emboldened, and they rushed the Philistines, and they ran them straight through the giant's hometown at home. And that was done by faith. He subdued the Philistines, the Moabites, the Syrians, the Ammonites, the Edomites. David, he subdued them, but he did it by faith. What is faith? He trusted God. He trusted God. Of course, God had his hand on David. God had touched David. That's important. It's real important that before you determine that you're going to go out and do something so great and so bold, you need to make sure you get the okay from the Lord. I like to call it headquarters sometimes. That you get a touch from Him and the okay from Him to do it. Otherwise, you'll just be spinning your wheels. But if God speaks to you to do something, He will also bring you through it. He will empower you through it. But it's important, see? And all of these men that we spoke about, they heard a word from God, a specific word from God or from His prophet. God dealt with them and gave them information. You know the best time to hear a word from God, like now, with the message? When He speaks, see? And the thing about when God speaks, you'll hear the same words. Everyone will hear the same words that I say, but on the inside of you, you'll hear different things. Because it'll be specific to you. God will speak to you specifically. Or when you're praying, or when you're consulting Him. Through faith, Barak left off threshing. He was threshing wheat and hiding it from their captors of 20 years. And he became another mighty man of valor. He defeated Jabin, the Canaanite king of Hazor. And through this initiative, the captain of the host of this king was killed, but not by Barak, killed by a woman. Put that spike right through his head, a tent spike. Yeah, that's right. The Bible says, by faith they worked righteousness, by carrying out the laws of, carried out the laws of justice, especially on nations that were guilty against God's people, against Israel. Nations like Egypt. Egypt paid a price. They enslaved God's people for 400 years. And that was promised. That was a promise from God. He told Abraham, your people will be in bondage to this nation in Genesis 15:13 for 400 years. And after that, I will judge that nation and bring them out, and you're going to leave rich. Rich. What it was. You're going to leave rich. They worked righteousness. The Canaanites, on separate occasions, ruled over Israel. Let's talk about the righteousness performed by Samuel when he did Saul's job, when Saul was sent in to destroy every one of the Amalekites, every one. But what Saul did was he kept the best sheep, he kept the best cattle, he kept the best looking people, the beautiful people like Hollywood type, the nice looking people, and he kept them and kept the king alive. It was his job to destroy them all. Saul had no faith. In other words, he did not trust God. He did not believe God knew what he was talking about. So Samuel had to come in and work the righteousness that God told Saul to work. That's why Saul lost his kingdom. And it was Samuel who came in and had to go ahead and destroy that Amalekite king and cut him up in little pieces. They executed the great purpose of God by punishing the wicked, cutting off his foes. There were races of people that plagued Israel. God came back later and reminded them, when my people, Israel, came out, you did this to them, you did that to them. Now here, now it's your turn. Now, listen. That's why I always say, pray for your enemies. Because they're in trouble if they come against you. And Bill, you got to pray for your old neighborhood. You really should. They're in trouble, Bill. They're in trouble. You pray for them. I know. Don't feel like it, but you should. You really, and if you can't, what I used to do when I couldn't pray for my enemies, I'd pray for me. And I said, Lord, please help me pray for my enemies. Because I sure enough don't want to do it. Please help me. But you need to do that. So you pray for you first if you can't pray for your enemies. And it's got to be a heartfelt and a real prayer. You can't go, Lord, bless my enemies, help my enemies, amen, in Jesus' name. All right. That's vain repetition. Your heart must be touched with this. And you must pray from your heart to him for your enemies. For good for them. For good for them. Because if you had, I'm going to talk to you. If you had your way, you could go through and just burn the whole thing down. You wouldn't do it. But a part of you could just go and burn it down. Just get me a couple of cans of gasoline, go around 3 o'clock in the morning, douse them down, and then lead a trail out to the street. Poof. But that's not how this is supposed to be done. You take some gas, you take gas for their car, but you pray for them by faith. It's all about faith. 33 goes on and says that by faith they obtained promises. The greatest promise was made to Abraham. He says, by thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham, he was childless except for, the son that was born to his wife, the handmaiden of Sarah. God said to Abraham, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He says, not and to seeds as in many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. It is through Abraham that his seed would bless all nations of the earth. He wasn't talking about all of the ones that were born after Abraham. He was actually talking about one, who was Christ. And it's through Christ, and only through Christ, that all of the nations of the world is blessed. Not everybody in every nation. I hear about America coming back to God. Really? When was America with God? If they weren't saved, when were they with God? I know. It's an odd question. Because it's said that America is a Christian nation. If you're a Christian, it shows in your life. People know there's something different about you, even if they don't quite understand what it is until they talk to you, until someone else tells them, oh, that's a church person there. Oh, they go to church all the time. Oh, I see. That's what that is. And so you see, in other words, I don't really believe in praying for a nation. I believe in praying for souls. Jesus came to save souls. The only nation that God ever was that concerned about saving was Israel. National salvation was Israel. And it says, and then all Israel shall be saved. But when it comes to all other nations, it's an individual thing. When, when Jesus came, our ancestors were doing some of the oddest, strangest things. He came to the Jews, us, the blacks were over there in Africa, and human sacrifice and killing our children. And we had some, people that ate people and some of the oddest things. And they would do that kind of thing in our nation. And then, and in other nations, they were, whoever knows what other kind of religion they were doing, but they were not following the God of the Jew. The only non-Jew that followed the way of the Jews were those that were proselytized and they became Jews, or they converted to Jews. The rest of the world were non-Jews. God is a national God for Israel, but not for any other nation. And every other, even though all of the nations of the world shall be blessed, He is a God for the individual. And He's a God. That's why He sent so many out into the world to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, telling them about Himself and about Jesus. And as you come to these people and tell them about Jesus, there's another part God plays. It's up to Him to touch the person's heart. It's up to Him to be speaking to that individual. We should never take upon ourselves to say, I'm going to go get someone saved. My question to you is, with what? With what? We need direction from God. We need to be told what to do when we do it. And if we're not directed to do it, we need to be very careful what we do in the name of Jesus. Very careful what we do. And if you don't know what to say, guess what? It's best to say not one thing. If you don't know what to say, just be quiet. But I know all the prayers. I do. I used to know the petition prayer, the warfare prayer, the worship prayer. You name it. I used to know all the prayers. And then I'd meet you and find out something about you, and I'd pray a petition prayer for you. And then I'd meet you and I find out you was in trouble. I'd pray a warfare prayer for you. And then I'd meet you and find out you love God, and I'd pray a worship prayer for you. Well, God might not have been calling me to do that. Just because I know it didn't mean I was supposed to do it. All right. I'm going to start with that. Okay. He stopped the mouths of lions. Remember that? There are three particular times, believe it or not, in the scripture where it says that God stopped the mouths of lions. Three times. Judges 14:5, 1 Samuel 17, and Daniel 6. In Judges, remember Samson, him and his parents went down to this a place called Timnath. And it says that a young lion roared against them, and says that Samson took this lion and he tore him. Tore him. Bible says he tore him like he would a kid, a baby goat. And there was nothing in his hand. And he tore this lion and left him. He came back later and visited that corpse later. But that's one time where they stopped the mouths of lions. The next time is in 1 Samuel 17:34, where David told Saul, right back at this situation with Goliath, he says, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and he took one of the lambs from the flock. I tell you now, this is very symbolic about how God feels about His flock and about His little lambs. He had a big flock that He was guarding, but they got one. And he said, I went after them. I went after the lion, and I took the lamb back, and I went after them, and I smote them, and delivered this lion, this lamb, out of his mouth. And he says, when they rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I killed him. He killed the lion. David, the little shepherd boy, through faith again, killed a lion that came and took a lamb that belonged to his father. A lamb that belonged to his father, y'all.
Yeah.
Listen, you're a lamb and you belong to the father. He took the lamb back, and I guess he was going back, and the lion came back, and I imagine he must have put that lion and the lamb in turn and went back to that lion. And say, this is the last time you're going to have any taste of lamb in your mouth. And he told Saul, he said, I smote the lion. And he says, the same way that God put the lamb, the lion and the bear into my hands, he's going to also turn that uncircumcised Philistine and put him in my hand also. Little shepherd boy did exploits. Big men of war cowering. But a little shepherd boy says, who is that? They say, you haven't heard, that's Goliath of Gath. He's a big 9 feet tall man. And he wants to fight us, but nobody's going out. And the king won't, he said, I'll fight him. But you're but a boy. I'll fight him. You're just a kid. Look at the little freckles and pimples on your face. What do you mean you'll fight? He said, look, I took care of a lion. I took care of a bear. And I'll take care of him too. Y'all, that was by faith. That was by faith. And of course, the last is in Daniel 6. When the old, good old king decided they wanted to throw Daniel in the lion's den for something he didn't do right. I'm not going to even try to get into the details. But the king wasn't really all that happy about it, but he had to do it because he had signed the edict for it to be done. And put him in there and close the door and seal the door with his signet and the signet of the people that were on his panel. Said the king lost sleep. He fasted all night. There was no music. And as soon as he woke up and ran and yelled out, Daniel, has your God delivered you? And he said, I'm here, O king. O king, live forever. Here I am. And he came and got the stone moved away. He says, my God has sent his angel. He's closed up the mouth of the lions that they would not harm me. That's what he said. An angel came and delivered me. He says, king, I've done anything. I haven't done anything unrighteous towards my God or towards you. You know me, the way that I've lived before you. I haven't done anything wrong. And the king got him out and said, God, Daniel's God is our God. And he took Daniel out of the pit and he threw those conspirators in. But not only did he throw the conspirators in, he threw in their wives and their children. And it says before they could hit the floor good, the lions was having breakfast. They pounced on them relentlessly and ate them all. And so through faith, it was through faith. Why? Because they said, Daniel, you better do what the king say, otherwise you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel said, not me. I will not do it. I will not worship in that way. I'll worship God only. That's a statement of faith. I'll worship God only. It's only him that I serve. Let the king do what he must do. And mess around, and Daniel was in there, and the angels took and shut the lion's mouth. That means the lions couldn't even open their mouth against him. They could see him, but they couldn't touch him. Oh, y'all, somebody help me with this now. They could see him, but they couldn't touch him. They were obviously hungry. You could probably hear their stomachs growling. They're like, man, I can't eat a bite. He's scrumptious, too. You know, he's special because of his diet. I mean, he's not, you don't eat stuff others. He eats the wholesome diet, so he would have been tasty, but they couldn't touch him. Why, God shut the mouth of the lions through faith. Through faith. They also quenched the violence of fire. You remember Shadrach, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They defied King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, boy, they said in Daniel, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's something to say to the big man, like saying that to the president. I ain't scared of you. My God will deliver me from you. But if not, they said, if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy God nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Man, he was infuriated. He was so mad. He said, light the furnace and heat it up 7 times more than it was. 7 times, heat it up. And they heated it up, and he looked in there, and he was astonished. And he says, wait a minute, didn't we throw 3 men in the furnace? Well, wait a minute. They said, true. He said, wait a minute, I see a fourth man loose in there walking around. It looks like the Son of God. Something's not right here. Who's walking in? We threw 3. We counted 1, 2, 3, but there's a fourth man walking in there. And he came near the mouth of the burning furnace, and he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants, he said, of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. He was converted already. Come here. You are servants of the Most High God. Then when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire, and the prince and the governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. 7 times harder. They took the strongest men that they had to heat this furnace, and they died heating the furnace. They fell dead. That's hot. When you're throwing something in, you just fall dead. It's too hot. The strongest man, that's a young man. That's a strapping man, a strong man that's, you know, 25, 26, 27, these strong thoroughbreds, you know, muscular men. They went in and fell dead. Here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there walking around. Feel good in here, don't it? All right. In case you never knew what a fiery furnace looked like, when you get to heaven, you can talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They can tell you just what was going on in there. Amen. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Through faith now, it was through, again, we're talking about faith. You want to know what faith is and how faith works, that's what we're talking about right now. He's given us samples and examples of real faith. Moses escaped the edge of the sword. The Bible says, for God, my father said, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. How did he do this? Well, Moses got a word from God to go in and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Moses got directions before he went in. He didn't go in before God spoke to him. I said he didn't do a thing until God spoke to him. Well, y'all repeat that. He didn't do a thing until God spoke to him. All right, so if you didn't hear it, you said it. He didn't do a thing until God spoke to him. Faith, y'all, we're talking about faith now. You can do exploits through faith, but you need to hear from God. You need to hear from him. And as I've said before, if you think it's him speaking, then you go and do it. But what if I get it wrong? Well, keep practicing. Anything you practice, you get better. And after a while, you get something right, and so that was God. And after a while, you say, no, that ain't God. That's me. I'm mad about something. I ate too much cabbage last night. That ain't God. You see? Listen, the voices come in the same place, close to the same place where you hear God. Listen to this now. The direction that you get from God can be confused with the direction that comes from you, or the direction that comes from the world, or the directions that comes from the devil. Because none of them basically are audible. They all are inside directives. And so if you're not very, very careful, you'll hear something and you'll take off and run. If you're not prayerful, listen, just look at your own life. Have I been living upright before God? Have I been living a holy life? Am I sanctified to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do I do all that I can to obey God? If you can answer those and say yes, and you hear a word, you can pretty much rest assured it's God. But if you're messing around out there in the streets, Going to hit the club every weekend. Going to be doing stuff on the side you know you shouldn't do. And you hear something, you best wait. You best wait. Because your life, you know, why would God give you some direction to help and work for Him and you're not even honoring Him with your life? Why would He do that? Why would He send a whatever name, I won't call a name, because it might fit one of y'all, but you know, why would He do that? Why does He need you and you won't even honor Him with your life? God sent me here to tell you this, and then you go tell them off. Now you know you had no business doing what you were doing. I came to let you know, and I'm going to get you straight, because God sent me. Don't put that on God. Just say, I'm upset, and I came to let you know something. Just put it where it's supposed to be. This is you. God don't send you to tell nobody off. You know, in a belligerent way. You know. And then say, well, praise the Lord, I have to say what I needed to say. I heard about a lady that has a voicemail on her phone. And when the recorder picks up, she says, praise the Lord, how are you? I can't answer the phone right now. And if you're a bill collector, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Please leave a message. Have a good day. You know? You know, you need to pay your bills, lady. Yes, and in 1 Samuel 18 and 19, David found himself in a big problem with Saul. Saul tried to kill David. Saul said, I'm going to pin him to the wall with this spear. And on several occasions, David didn't know what was going on. Saul would take that spear and he threw it at David, and David got out of the way and missed him. And it must have happened about 3-4 times. Finally, David just ran and got away. Eventually, someone had to let him through a window to escape. He escaped the edge of the sword. Through faith, they were out of wickedness. They were made strong. You remember Samson's final test with his relationship with Delilah? And she eventually got the information about what makes him strong and was his hair. They cut his hair. He lost his strength. They put out both eyes and he was blind. They took this mighty man of God, this mighty Nazarite of God, one of his own kind, one of the strongest men in the world. No, at the time, the strongest man in the world. And maybe now, I don't know. But they took him and had him grinding grain like you would an animal to roll those big heavy stones over the grain to make grain. And they decided, the kings and the decided, let's have a party. Well, we call it a party. But they went to the party area, the big area where they all got together. And they say, hey, bring Samson out. Let's make sport with him. You know how you make sport with a blind man? You go on the side of him and slap him side the head. And you hit him behind the knee and he goes down. And you make sport. You have a good time at it. You throw stuff and hit him on top of the head. You do things he can't see. And so they call themselves having a good time. They're going to have a mixed sport and have a good time with Samson. Well, the Bible says Samson, he prayed a prayer. He says, oh, Lord, remember me, I pray you. And strengthen me, I pray you. Only this once. Oh, God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up. Of the one with his right hand and on the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the Lord and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. What they did not count on after they cut his hair, was that his hair was going to grow back. And as he was in that prison, his hair started growing back. That's him. That's his strength. And his hair continued to grow. He didn't have his eyes, but his hair continued to grow. And I imagine he was in that prison going, oh, wow. Start feeling that strength back. and he grabbed those and he bowed. It says he bowed himself with all of his might. And he pulled that house down on all of them. He killed more in his death than he did in his life. And we're still talking about Samson today. He was a man of faith. He had little women problems, but he was a man of faith. He was. We still talk about him today. Hezekiah, as I mentioned earlier, in Isaiah 38:1, it says here, that in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He cried, he sobbed. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee, unto thy days, 15 years. 15 years. After the prophet came with a word from God and said, Set your house in order, you're going to die. And he prayed, and the prophet turned back and said, Guess what? God sent me back to tell you, he heard your prayers. And he saw your tears, and you're right. You have lived upright. That's pretty much what he's saying. You're right. You have lived upright. Well, it was a blessing for him to go home to be with the Lord. But yet in his own heart, he didn't want to go yet. And he said, you're right. You're going to live 15 years. I imagine God healed him. If he's going to live 15 years, if he didn't heal him, he kept him. For 15 years. What a blessing. What a blessing. Through faith, they received strength. Through faith, Samson killed more in his death than he did in his life. And through faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they quenched the violence of fire. And David, with the angel of God through faith, shut the mouths of the lions. Through faith, y'all. Well, we don't have lions walking around the streets today. But there are some lion-like things out there that we still have to deal with. We're not worried about fiery furnaces, but there are some fiery things out there that we still have to deal with. Amen? I mean, we have great medical science and wonderful, very smart, almost genius medical doctors. But there are some situations when it's time, they can't do a thing and it's in God's hands. And then they can say that you're going to die in 3 years, but we need to find out what does God have to say about that. And it's going to be what God says. And you'll be going back for 4 years saying, I'm back for my checkup again. Then 4 years, you say three. In 5 years, you say, I'm back for my checkup again. Say, well, it's still there. I just don't understand what's happening. You say, I know what's happening. It's not my time. And 6 years, and 7 years, and 8 years, and 9 years, and 10 years. After a while, the doctor's going to say, okay, looking good, keep going, doing what you're doing. Got nothing else to say. Listen, we walk by faith and not by sight. If you walk by sight, you will be defeated. But if you walk by faith, and listen, there's a great need to walk by faith. I got some news this week. What? The man told me something. I said, what? I'm in shock. What am I going to do? You know what? Before the hour, the Lord told me what I need to do. He told me how to do it. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Trusting him. And guess what? A horrible, terrible, tragic situation. It's already taken care of, y'all. I won't even tell you what it is, but I can tell you this. It was a tragedy that was about to hit my front doorstep. And it's already taken care of. By faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, thank you for your word today. And Lord, help us to remember and to learn to walk by faith. And even though we say, well, these are Old Testament people, no, Lord, you say that all scripture is given by inspiration. And that it's there to help us, to instruct us in the way of righteousness. And if these weren't important to us, then they would not be in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And I thank you, Lord, for the insight to go back and to look into the Old Testament aspect of it so that we can glean some specific information on these particular subjects that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. We've read past them so many times in our lives, but here you're taking us through verse by verse and story by story. Lord, I thank you for our visitor today. I pray that you'll bless her and help her and be with her. I hope that she was blessed today and that her faith has been increased. And all of those that are here today, I pray, Lord, that everyone's faith has been increased. In Jesus' name, amen.